to Ephesians chapter 4.
Thank you, Juan. Last week I had every intention, of course, of being here and finishing up 1 John, but that did not happen. And so, Lord willing, we will conclude our epistle of 1 John next week. This week, because it is our congregational Sunday and also New Member Sunday, I want to turn our attention to the local church. And more precisely, I want to speak to you on faithfulness to the local church. I'd like us to focus our attention on just a very short passage. I have many other passages, but this one is at the very heart of what I'm going to speak about. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verses 11 through 13 and then have a short word of prayer. The subject matter in this passage is the risen Christ. And the Bible says that one of the things that he did unto the church after his resurrection is that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. O Heavenly Father, we pray your will be done in our hearts. And I pray as a pastor that there would be today a rededication to the ministry of the local church, especially those of us who have entered into a covenant relationship with the Dover First Baptist Church, that we would understand that we have signed on, as it were, to a commitment of faithfulness to this local body of believers. Oh God, bless our hearts, challenge us, but in all things, may we give Jesus Christ the preeminence. We ask it in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The Barner Research Group has been conducting and analyzing research to understand cultural trends related to religious beliefs, values, attitudes, and behaviors since 1984. I personally have met George Barner, who started the Barner Research Group. He's truly a man of God. He loves the local church. I wish that all of you would have the opportunity that I have to speak to George and to really understand his heart for the local church. But he is deeply saddened, as I am and many pastors, that the trends that are happening in the church across America. And let us not fool ourselves that some of these trends affect our church. Their latest report states Americans are attending church less. My job every year is to come up with a report concerning the spiritual well-being of our church and to report to you on the ministry. One of the things that I'll mention today in my report is that our attendance and faithfulness to worship is down. Seems to be a trend across America. Barner Research Group says that more people are experiencing and practicing, as it were, their faith apart from the church, which is really, when you know about the New Testament church, is an oxymoron. Millennials in particular, and this group truly worries me, are coming of age at a time of great skepticism and contempt towards many institutions, including the church. Added to that is the kind of broader secularism that is trending in American culture and a growing agnosticism towards the claim of faith. George Barner says that these are uncertain times for the church in the United States. I would like to call us back to faithfulness to our covenant relationship with the local church. That is what you witness today. I'm not talking about the universal church. Universal church obviously has to do with all of those who are born again Christians. Amen. They've come to know Christ. But I want to talk to the subject of faithfulness to the local assembly. And I hope to be able to explain that in its rudimentary principles. It was Charles Morrison who once wrote, I quote, "The Christian church is a society of sinners." Thank God Jesus loves sinners. Amen. He goes on to say, I quote, "It is the only society in the world where membership is based upon the single qualification that the candidate shall be truly unworthy of membership." Amen to that. Do you ever think about that? You're not worthy to be a member of the body of Christ. None of us are. What a high privilege it is. And yet, it is unfortunate that we live in a day where the church is treated with disdain and disrespect. The church is the most blessed institution on the face of this earth, and the only one that has been built by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about faithfulness to your local church. You see, in a little while, we will have a congregational meeting and we will take some time to look together at the fiscal state of the church. And by the way, I want to thank Brother Jim for all the work that he does to put these figures together, and for Jeannie Muncy, who also is our treasurer, that keeps all of these records for us. So we can take a look today, the panoramic view of the fiscal welfare of the church. And I want to be first to praise God that the fiscal state of our church is good. But what is more important is the spiritual state of our church and the faithfulness of its members to participate and to promote its welfare. That's why I'd like us to look at this passage in the book of Ephesians. This epistle was written by the great apostle Paul, who established many local Bible-believing churches during his many years of ministry, his three missionary journeys. And Ephesus was a good church. It's in a difficult city, but it was a wonderful church. And they were in the process of maturing. And it is so important for official members to take seriously their commitment to their local church. It is the local Bible-believing church for you. And as we heard today, read by Brother Jim, our covenant agreement. When you became an official member of the church, you entered into a covenant relationship, just like marriage is a covenant relationship. And you know that in a marriage, the covenant relationship is that you are faithful to one another. Amen? Anybody have a problem with that? No, I don't think so. That you forsake all others and that your commitment is to one another. Because you have entered into a covenant relationship. And you seek the welfare of each other. We agree is what we heard today. When we hear those words, we agree. It means that we are in unity together. That by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, note, to strive for the advancement of this church in spiritual knowledge, holiness and comfort, and to promote its prosperity and spirituality. That's a covenant relationship. Your presence and commitment is vitally important. I'm going to share some stats. Again, these come from Barna Research. But I want to share some of these stats because I want to build upon them so you will understand where I'm going. Do you know that the largest group of American churchgoers attend services in what George Barna calls an intimate context? What does he mean by that? Did you know that almost half, that 46%, almost half of all the true born-again Christians that attend a church where there is 100 or fewer in attendance or in membership? That would be this church. And although we have approximately, I think the records are going to show today, 120-some-odd people who could be in our church services, we don't have that many faithfully coming to worship. More than one-third, that's 37%, attend a mid-sized church. That is a church that is over 100 but under 500. 1 in 11, that's 9%, attend a church with 500 to just under 1,000. And slightly fewer, 8%, attend what we call mega churches. The likes of Joel Osteen. Or the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, where there are 10,000 people in attendance for Sunday school every Sunday. Or Andy Stanley's church in Atlanta, Georgia. These are the exception. And by the way, we find that that's not an intimate context, is it? No. In fact, I have some good friends who left a small church like ours. And do you know why they left? Because they didn't want the accountability. They wanted to get lost in a mega church where nobody really knows you. But that's not the design of the New Testament church. By far, all the New Testament churches fall, except for the church in Jerusalem, fall under the category of 100 or fewer. A more intimate community of covenant relation between believers. Today there is a real lack of faithfulness to one's local church. It's as if we entered into a covenant relationship and we really ignore it. How would that work in your marriage relationship? When you made that covenant promise, I guess we call it, vows to one another. And then forsook your vows. But we see that's what's happening today in many churches. It seems that we understand how important it is to support local businesses. And those of you who are business people, you understand that. And I understand that. Not that we always do it, but it makes good sense. We support our local schools and even our local teams. And yet when it comes to the greatest institution in our community, it is often treated with disdain. Therefore, I believe that a brief review of the purpose of the church needs to be readdressed. And I think that that resets things and helps us understand, yes, I've entered into a covenant relationship with this church to reach this community for Jesus Christ. And I think it's a privilege to be a member of the Dover First Baptist Church. How many churches do you know have existed for over 260 years? Aren't too many. In fact, in the whole state of New York, Dover First Baptist is second as the continuous active Baptist church in the state of New York. We give the praise, obviously, to God. But that tells me that God has a purpose. He always does. He has a purpose for His church. It was defined for us by God's only begotten Son. We have to ask the question, if I enter into a covenant relationship, why? Why would I? So why would I be concerned? What is the ultimate purpose? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, before ascending to the Father, spoke directly to these questions. You might recall it was one day on the mountain in Galilee. He spoke in very clear and simple language to the disciples. We call it the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He said to His disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And the word nations there actually is translated from the Greek word ethnic group. "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The book of Acts, by the way, we're studying the book of Acts on Wednesday night. And I think those that are studying it with me have become even greater students of the New Testament church. Luke's document is a precise record of the disciples' activities and accomplishments as they seriously and systematically carried out the Great Commission. Going city to city and establishing a local New Testament church. Let's get the people from this area into this church. Let's get them saved. Let's get them understanding that they need to reach their community and disciple believers. The church exists to carry out two fundamental, foundational functions. Jesus mentioned it. Evangelism, to reach the lost, and edification, to teach, He said. That is, to educate, to help new believers mature in their faith. And by these two functions, we can define the purpose of the church, and we can narrow it down to the purpose of the church being to produce mature believers in Jesus Christ. We can simply state it that way. You say, well, okay, Pastor, you've said all that, but what does that have to do with the local church? Let me ask you, how do you do that unless you're plugged in and have a covenant relationship in a local church? You can't! Do you know that the word for church is ekklesia in the Greek? What does ekklesia mean? It means to be called out. Well, my goodness, God called us out to be somewhere. Amen? Amen. Not nowhere. I don't understand the millennials today. Oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe His Word. I don't believe that I should be involved in the church. They only believe in being involved in the church when something happens in their life. Or they want something from the church, and then they're concerned that why isn't the church stepping up to help them? Because you have not entered into a covenant relationship. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 1, and I, again, think I can help you better understand how important the local church is. Jesus Christ pointed out how important the local church is and how distinctly different they are in the book of Revelation. In fact, the first three chapters pay all of its attention to the seven churches. How many of you remember that? The seven churches, the letters written to the seven churches. In verse 11, chapter 1, Jesus is speaking, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, he's talking to John, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And then he mentions these churches. Unto Ephesus. And we're in the book of Ephesus. We're going to look at that. Unto Smyrna. Unto Pergamos. Unto Thyatira. Unto Sardis. Unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And if you take the time to read through chapter 1, 2, and chapter 3, you find that each one of these churches have different commendation, and many of them have condemnation, because each is different, uniquely different. And it is the way by which God designed His church. Because every community is different. The needs that this community have is going to be different than some other communities. There are communities that they don't even have poor people. Their average income is over three figures. I know of a pastor who ministered in a community like that. He said it was harder to minister there than it was in a poor community. Why? Because their God was the Almighty Dollar. And so the needs are different. And we need to understand that God has provided through you who have entered into a covenant relationship the tools necessary to reach this community. You can't be dealing with every community. You've entered into a covenant relationship in this assembly to reach this community. Because that's by God's design. That's what Revelation is saying. As John goes and speaks to the strengths and to the weaknesses of these seven churches. Because the churches were vitally important in all of these cities. The principle of the local church is mentioned in the Bible over 100 times. And the word church itself, ecclesia, occurs 75 times in, as we say, singular form, 37 times in a plural form. And all of these verses are found as references to the church of Jesus Christ. No greater institution exists. And yet we find that members who have entered into a covenant relationship think it's more important to be involved in something else on the Lord's Day than to be in the house of God. Shame on us. The New Testament word, as I mentioned a minute ago, ecclesia, means called out. We are called out for the two rudimentary functions of the church. Because God has given gifted individuals to this church to do the work of this ministry. Go to it. Now we're going to go back to Ephesians, our passage. And it clearly defines it for us. The work of the Lord Jesus before He entered into heaven. And the Bible says in verse 10, He that ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that He might fill all things, that He might fulfill the will of the Father. And what did He do? He established His church, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So what is God saying in His Word? In the book of Ephesians, He's saying, to establish a New Testament church, God has gifted individuals These gifted individuals are given to these local assemblies for a purpose. What is that purpose? Verse 12. God gave them for the what? Perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting is a Greek word that conveys the idea of being completely furnished. Now, isn't it nice when you move into an apartment or maybe a house and it's completely furnished? Isn't that nice? I mean, you don't have to worry about, hey, everything's there. That's what God wants to do in your church. He wants to completely furnish it with the tools necessary that we could reach our community and that we could help one another. We can't do that if we're not here or if we're somewhere else. And he says what I've already said. The purpose of this is for the maturing of the saints. Who are the saints? You are the saint. It means just to be set apart. When you got saved, you were set apart for God. Angelos, that's what the word is. It means you are set apart for God. For the work of the what? Ministry. You are set apart for the work of the ministry. He said, but I don't need to go to church. Well, then how can you do the work of the ministry? You can't be involved in ecclesia if you're not called out anywhere and to use your gifts that God's given for the purpose of the edification of the saints and for reaching your community. Why? Can we all come into the unity of faith? I wish I had more time. But I'll say this. The local church is a group of believers in Christ that meet at a specific location. And by the way, it isn't the four walls that define us. It is our covenant relationship that defines us as an assembly of believers, as a church. If this church did not exist, this building, I should say, did not exist tomorrow, Dover First Baptist Church continues to exist. The church is absolutely essential to maintaining your walk of sanctification and for the edification of others. And you cannot fulfill Christ's will in this regard, and it is God's will because He's the one established the New Testament church, if you choose membership like a Golden Corral smorgasbord. Well, this church is having that, I'll go there this week. Oh, this church down the road is having this, I'll go there next week. That's not faithfulness to your local Bible-believing church that you entered into a covenant relationship with. The Apostle Paul amplifies this truth in this letter to the church at Ephesus. He stresses that we're here to perfect one another. The gifted men, leaders, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry for the koinonia. Or the koinonia, the fellowship of the believers. Many Christians do not join a local church because they think the institution today is irrelevant. That's a statistical fact. That is a sad fact. That was put together by Barna Research. Many millennials do not believe the church is relevant. It is only relevant when a need arises. You know, we understand that if you don't put money in a bank, you can't go to the bank and get money out. How many of you understand that? Right? You understand that? Many years ago, I had to explain that to my son. Dad, well, just write a check. What do you mean, just write a check? Just write one of them checks, Dad. It's like, yeah, but you got to have money in there to write it against. And we got people that will call the church and they'll expect the church to help. And listen, we are here to help our community. Don't get me wrong. We do have a definite responsibility to poor. But there's a difference to having a responsibility to poor and enabling people to do wrong. Amen? Big difference. And we have millennials who come along and expect the church to get a handout, but they don't believe in supporting the local. They don't even believe in coming and worshiping in a local church or we're coming to pray. That's not a covenant relationship. And the church was not designed to survive that way. Trust me, I studied the New Testament church for years before I even became a pastor. And I haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg on all of the references about our commitment to the local body of believers. It is important. These churches that Paul established, and God used the Apostle Paul to establish many of them, were viewed as distinct from one another, and each church acted independent of the other. And even though they were independent, did not mean that they didn't care about each other. Because we do. And I know I've been talking about being independent and autonomous and having a covenant relationship, but that doesn't mean that I don't care about the church in the next community. We pray for them. We ask God to bless them, that God would empower their leaders, bless their pastors. But our commitment is for this church. And maybe we need to rededicate ourselves to that. I'm last going to say, for those who still want to argue that, oh, I can worship anywhere. Well, you can't observe the New Testament ordinance by yourself. I know pastors that will not go to somebody's house to give communion because they do not believe that it's proper, because communion is to be done in the communion of the saints. Now, I'm a little bit different. If there was somebody who's sick, obviously, and their heart is here, I certainly would do it. But I know some pastors that won't. And I understand why. Because they understand it. That's kind of an oxymoron. You serve communion in the fellowship of believers. Because that's the way it was designed. A very important part of worship and Bible study is to encourage one another to do acts of love and good deeds. But also there is the observance of the New Testament ordinances of water baptism and the Lord's Supper. These things cannot be done apart from the assembly of believers in the confines of your home. It's to be done in the communion of the saints. I have to close. I do understand that sometimes we have a tendency to waver in our faith. That's part of being a Christian. But that is another reason why we need the local church. Local church is like a hospital. Amen? I love Wednesday night because, you know, Wednesday night, we get together and we lift one another up in prayer. Sometimes somebody will come and they're down and we all rally together and lift them up. And maybe the next week they come and they're topside and somebody else is down. Amen? How can you do that if you're not here? Ecclesia, you're called out to be somewhere to do something. You're not called out by God to be nowhere and do nothing. We should never be guilty of what the writer Hebrews talked about, forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because it was going on in the early church. It said, as the matter of some is. But we ought to be exhorting one another. You can't do that if you're not here. If we're not committed to each other. And so much the more as we see the day approaching. The closer we get to the end times, there's a greater tendency to pull away. You know the Bible does teach that in the latter days there'll be a great falling away from the church. So get busy and pull people back. Because the Bible forewarns us. That day is coming. It's already here. I have to close. You know, the New Testament teaches us to possess personal faith in Jesus Christ, and that's a wonderful thing. But your faith ought to count for something, amen? Your faith ought to be contagious. It ought to affect other people. We need other believers, and other believers need us. Let's enjoy and contribute to the strength and the fellowship of the body of Christ here. It was Dr. Robert Logan who said this in a book that's been out for some time. It's talked about the church. And actually, the title is Releasing the Church, your local church's potential. He said this. I kind of like this. I'm going to close with it. He said, I quote, "I believe that the enemy divides all people into two categories." This is so true. Those he can ignore, and those he has to fight. See, there are people that Satan, he doesn't care about, because he knows they don't understand this idea of being committed to the local church. He just ignores those. Who do you think he fights with? Those that are committed. I want to be one of those he has to fight with. He went on to quote, and I'll finish with this, a World War II bomber pilot. Some of you have heard this before. Quote, if you are taking the flak, then you are over the target. Amen? So if you're wondering why it's all coming your way, well, just maybe it's because you're over the target. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, help us to realize as we do commit ourselves to the ministry of the local church, the Satan will not be happy. He will attack us. He will attack our church. But help us to understand if that's what's going on. We know we're doing right. Help us to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Father, if there's one among us today who's not saved, does not know beyond a doubt that they died to go to heaven, may they just simply put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead to save them from their sin. May they recognize they cannot save themselves. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, the gift of God, lest any man should boast. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook and turn to 519. Faith is the victory. And, of course, I invite you to stay for the luncheon. And, of course, all of our official members for our congregational meeting. 519. Faith is the victory. Thank you.